With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And a very good Friday morning, evening, afternoon, whatever the hell it is. Joe Beningo with you, the Ode to Pain podcast. It's Friday. It's October 27th. It's 2023, and the Joe Beningo Ode to Pain podcast brought to you by the Hackensack Brewing Company, Anita Discount Tire, and, of course, by DraftKings. All right, Jet fans, so we're playing the Giants this week, all right? You know, and I've been telling the coach this all week, too. The pressure is on. There's a lot of pressure on the Jet fans in this game. Let's be honest. We got a lot of pressure. We got to live with the Giant fans, right? It's your next-door neighbor. It's your good friend. It's whatever it is. We got to live with them. And let's be honest with this, too. The Giant fans, for a team that's sitting there at 2-5 that just beat the crummy Washington Commanders and did everything they could to try to hand the game to them, not to mention the absolute hideous coaching by Washington's coach, Ron Rivera, they are an extremely cocky group. Let's be real. All of a sudden, the Giant defense, you would think it's 1986. LT, Leonard Marshall, Harry Carson, Carl Banks, right? Jim Burt. You think they're all out there playing for the Giants this week, right? Because they sacked the crummy Commanders, Sam Howell, six times or whatever they did in the win last week over Washington. It really is amazing. How are the Jets favored? The Jets are 3-point favorites, 2.5-point favorites. Everybody loves the Giants in this game. My buddy JJ picked the Giants. The beat writers for the Jets, who, as we know, hate the Jets. I don't care what they try to tell you. They can't stand them. They want to see them lose. They're picking the Giants, right? It's amazing. The cockiness from the Giant fans is unreal. We got to beat the crap out of this freaking team. You know what? We're better. Like I said, all of a sudden, their defense is the 86 Giants. And our defense is, you know, crap, right? Crap. All our defense has done is in the last, you know, three games that we've played against some pretty good quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, Russell Wilson, maybe he's not the guy he used to be, but, you know, he's a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback, right? Patrick Mahomes, one of the greats of all time. All the Jets have done in those games is, you know, what, force 9 turnovers, intercept them 8 times, right? Isn't that what they've done? But, of course, you know, the Jets, we're just crap on the floor when it comes to the Giants, right? I mean, that's it. Let's be honest. We play in their building, right? You could make it as green as you want on Jet game days. You could put up the Ring of Honor, all it is, the Jet logo at midfield. It's the Giants stadium. It still is. We play in their freaking stadium. We are second-class tenants to them, second-class citizens to them. You know, they're the hoity-toity, you know, lordly Giants, 4-time Super Bowl winner, and we're the crummy, you know, crappy, brutal Jets, 54 years and counting without even a Super Bowl appearance. So this is a big game for the Jet fan. It really is. And I tried to emphasize this to my good friend, the head coach, Robert Saleh, okay? How much we need to win this game. How big this game is. Sure, we only play him once every 4 years. But when you got to live with these people and when you got to hear all the crap that they spew out there, yeah, we got to beat the crap out of this team. I mean, come on. And I don't care if it's Tyrod Taylor, Daniel Jones, Eli Manning, or Phil Sims. We got to go out there and beat them. What else can I say? You know, you got guys ripping Zach Wilson, because during the bye week, he went apple picking with his girlfriend in Utah. I mean, so what? What does that mean? Does it mean something? Is he allowed to take a couple days off? What's he supposed to be doing? Well, he should be out at some strip club getting in trouble. I mean, is that what he should be doing? I don't know. You know, there was a time when I didn't really mind the Giants too much. I mean, there was a time, right? You know? back in the old days, you know, back in the 80s and all, you know, I didn't mind them. You know, there was times I actually rooted for them. I wanted to see them win that Super Bowl once we blew it in 86 to the Browns. But now, I can't stand them. No, their fans are all cocky, right? I don't care how bad they're. You know, they act like they beat Buffalo. Let's not forget, they lost to the Bills, okay? They lost to the Bills. They should have won the game, but you know what? They didn't. And the last time I remember, I think we actually beat the Bills this year. Did we not? I'm delusional here. I don't know. I want this game bad as a Jet fan. I got to tell you. And every Jet fan out there should want it extremely bad. Is it the Patriots? No. Is it the Bills? No. Is it the Dolphins? No. But it's the freaking Giants. And even though we only play them once every 4 years, I want to stick it right up their ass. No, I really do. How about this? This is an interesting little tidbit with the Giant Jet stuff. Now, they've played 14 times in a regular season. The Giants have won 8 out of the 14. The Jets have won the last two. Remember, they won in 2019. That was the game where Jamal Adams, remember him, took the ball away from Daniel Jones and took it in for a touchdown. The Jets won 34-27. We beat him in 2015. That was with Todd Bowles as the coach. Our last winning season, going 10-6. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Brandon Marshall, to send the game into overtime late in the fourth quarter. And then they won it with a field goal. I forget who our kicker was at that point. I don't remember. We've had so many kickers. But wound up winning the game in overtime. And, of course, the game before that in 2011 was the disaster, one of the worst losses in Jet history, the Victor Cruz game, as he is still running down the sideline past Kyle Wilson and Eric Smith and everybody else, running all the way to the Super Bowl. And ever since that game, we've been running all the way to the shithouse. All right? So who'll ever forget that wonderful ditty? And think about this too, Jet fans. Think about this. Do you realize the last, and I know we only play him once every 4 years, the last Jet coach to coach two games against the Giants was Joe Walton in the 80s. Are you serious? So every time we've played them since 1988, which of course was one of the best wins we ever had, when Al Toon, and by the way, I'll be at the game Sunday. I will be there with my good buddy, the great Kenny Scarabaggio, who says, Joe, could you please mention my name every time that you do a podcast or a show? Kenny wants to make sure he gets as much publicity as possible. So I'm going with my good buddy, the incomparable Kenny Scarabaggio, who they're already chiseling the statue to. I am going with Kenny to the game on Sunday. But just think about that. So we have had a different coach for every Jet Giant game going all the way back to the 80s. But the Al Toon game, Al Toon, 1988, last game of the season. Giants need to win the game to get into playoffs, right? This is the Giants of Parcells and Sims and LT and Carl Banks and all of those guys. George Martin, that whole group, right? And Al Toon over this nondescript defensive back, Tom Flynn, in the corner of the end zone from Ken O'Brien. The Jets win the game 27-21 and basically knock the Giants out of the playoffs. Now, the Giants had another shot to make the playoffs. The 49ers that night played the Rams, if you remember this. And had the Niners won, the Giants would have made the playoffs, right? They would have eliminated the Rams. But what the Niners did, remember, the Niners were already in the playoffs. So the Niners, and Phil Simms said this perfectly, laid down like dogs that night because they wanted no part of the Giants in the playoffs. And they basically let the Rams win the game. And then, of course, the 49ers went on to win the Super Bowl that year, beating Boomer Esiason and the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl. So that was 1988, the great win with Al Toon. I will be wearing anytime we play the Giants in honor of the Giant of that win over the Giants in 88, I wear the Al Toon jersey. So I just, let me throw that out there. But yeah, so we're 6-8 all time against them. We've won the last two. We got to win this one though, because the Giant fan, I mean, they're so goddamn cocky. And let's be honest, Jet fans, we've won two in a row. We get the big win over the Eagles. We beat Denver the week before that. You know, and we should be riding high right now. Now, the one negative is we're coming off the bye. The Jets have lost their last seven games coming off the bye. So, look, you could say they're completely due to go out and win now. I mean, they are, no doubt. But we'll see. Everything points against us, and I like that, right? And all we're doing is just sitting, you know, keeping our mouth shut. I'm not sitting here saying we're going to kill the Giants or anything like that. And, you know, just going to sit back and enjoy, hopefully, a big win over them. But we need to win this game. We need to win this game. We do. Because if we lose, all that momentum from beating the Eagles and winning two in a row goes right down the freaking tubes again as we go back to 3-4 and under 500. I mean, if we want to win this division, and to me, the division's in play. I mean, Miami's sitting there at 5-2. You know, Buffalo won last night, beat Tampa, which you figured they would do, 24-18. But they're 5-3. They only, you know, they were even with us in the loss column. And, of course, we beat them already once and got to play them in a few weeks. You know, we play the Giants, then we have that Monday night game against the Chargers, and then we go to Vegas to play the Raiders, and then we go to Buffalo after that. This is a big game for the Jets. This is a big game. They really need to stamp it with a win here over the 2-5. Let's not forget, 2-5 New York football Giants, who even with Tyrod Taylor, it's not exactly an offensive juggernaut, all right? Yeah, they beat Washington last week. Remember, they didn't score in the second half of that game. One other thing I want to throw in there, probably, and most people won't remember this because, you know, they're not an old man like me. Probably the most significant win the Jets have had over the Giants was actually in not even a regular season game. After the Jets had won the Super Bowl in January 1969, remember, they played the Giants for the first time in a preseason exhibition game. Up in New Haven in the Yale Bowl, where the Giants played their home games for a while as they were transitioning from Yankee Stadium to the Meadowlands. And everybody was picking the Giants to win that game, all right? It was a fluke. The Jets beat the Colts in the Super Bowl. You know, the NFL is still better than the AFL and all of this, right? So there was a lot of pressure on the Jets to win that game. I mean, it really was. And they played it like it was a regular season game. The Giants were a decent team. You know, Frank Tarkenton was the quarterback then. You know, they had guys like Homer Jones, Tucker Fredrickson. I believe the Giants in 1968 went 7-7. They were a 500 team. So they weren't great, but they weren't terrible. And everybody was picking the Giants to win that preseason game. This was a big deal. Big deal. And I'll never forget it. It wasn't even on TV. They didn't have it on TV. I had to listen to that game on the radio. But they played it like it was a playoff game. And the Jets blew the Giants out. They beat them 37-14. Namath threw 3 touchdown passes in that game. A very nondescript defensive back by the name of Mike Battle, who was a rookie at that point out of USC, remember, returned a punt for a touchdown in that game, and it was famous because he actually was hurdling one of the Giant defenders on his way to the end zone. And that year would end, 1969 would end, with the Jets losing the divisional playoff game to the eventual Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs 13-6 at Shea Stadium, a game that I was so fortunate to be at. And if you'll remember, the game ended with Mike Battle fumbling a punt at midfield and the Chiefs recovering to end that game. So Mike Battle's moment of fame didn't last long, you know, just that punt return in the preseason game against the Giants. But that's probably the most significant win the Jets have ever had against the Giants, and it came in a game that didn't even count. But now this game counts, and they got to win this game. But really, man, I am sick and tired. You know, like I said, there was a time I really didn't mind the Giants that much. That all changed when Evan and I, my former partner, Evan Roberts, right, when we went to the first of the 2 Giant Patriot Super Bowls in Phoenix, and I'll never forget. And Evan, you know, that, of course, was the undefeated Patriot team, and, you know, that Giant team, you know, that went, where they go, 10-6 that year and, you know, started out 0-2 and then made the big run and made the playoffs and all of that, right? Beat the Cowboys in the divisional playoff game, beat the Packers in that classic NFC title game in the deep freeze in Lambeau, which turned out to be Brett Favre's final game as a Packer. But anyway, be that as it may. And I remember Evan saying he's rooting for the Giants in this game. And I'm saying to him, bro, let me explain something to you here. You're rooting for the Giants. We hate the Patriots, right? We hate them, right? Of course. But you know what? If the Patriots win, does it really matter to us? It's not like they're taking anything away from us now. The season's over. Who cares if they win? And if the Giants win, we got to fly back to New York from Phoenix and then immediately go do a show from the freaking giant parade. And then Evan started to understand. And then 4 years later, when the Giants again made the Super Bowl, and again we were out there for the Super Bowl against the Patriots in Indianapolis this time, right? He finally understood, especially after our good buddy Paul Dottino basically came into the booth and was just basically saying this game is in the bag for the Giants. And, of course, the Giants did win. And we flew back. That's the time Evan and I, we flew back on Boomer's private plane, right? And there was so much air traffic coming from Indianapolis back to Teterboro that we basically took us like 3 hours to fly from Indianapolis to Jersey. But I think Evan finally got it at that point because he realized, boy, if the Giants win, we got to go back and we got to be at another one of these goddamn parades that's not our team. And that's exactly what happened. So ever since then, I have had really no love for the Giants. And I got to live with Giant fans being cocky. They're 2-5 and they're cocky. You know, I could understand if they were 5-2, you know. I could understand if they were like the Eagles right now who are 6-1. Oh, by the way, the Jets did beat the Eagles. When's the last time the Giants beat them? When was that? When was the last time the Giants were even close against the Eagles? Let me know when that was, okay? But anyway, be that as it may, it doesn't matter. The Giants, it's the Giants. They're 2-5. They're a powerhouse. Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, Kayvon Thibodeau. Come on, Tyrod Taylor, Saquon Barkley. They're trying to make a trade Barkley? Unbelievable. So I am ready for this game. I am pumped. I have begged Coach Sal. I've tried to explain to Coach Sal how important this game is to the Jet fan. You got to understand. I have emphasized this to the nth degree. There is a tremendous amount of pressure on us Jet fans for this game. Now, I will be there Sunday with my buddy Kenny. We will be there amongst the enemy. I'll be wearing my Altoon jersey. And we need to win this game. We need to win this game. We need to stick it to the Giant fans. We need to stick. In fact, if we win this game, the Giants will be 2-6, and this season could be basically sayonara now. And how good would that be? So let's get out there. Let's get this win. We're the better team. Let's show it, all right? Let our defense show why we are the by far superior defense to the Giants. Like I said, I don't see LT or Harry Carson or George Martin or Carl Banks or Leonard Marshall. I don't see them anywhere on this Giant team. You know, I don't see Pepper Johnson running around playing linebacker here. Let's win this game, okay? It's a big game. I'm feeling the pressure. Got to get it. All right? Coach, we got to get it. Zach, we got to get it. Quinnen, Quincy, Jermaine, Bryce, everybody. Brees, Garrett, we got to get this goddamn game. And how about this, too? What is this nonsense, all right? Now, Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed apparently both practiced in full this week. They've been practicing in full. But they're not yet cleared from this concussion protocol? What the hell is that all about? Sauce even said before the Eagle game that he felt good enough to play. So what is that? Why aren't they cleared?
How could you practice and not be cleared?
Well, there you go. My wife asking a very good question. How could you practice all week and not be cleared to play? And what I heard is we're not going to know till game day. What is that? What is the league trying to keep these guys out of the game? It makes you wonder. Look, between the crappy officiating, ask the Indianapolis Colts about the officiating in the NFL last week when they were absolutely hosed by the officials in that loss that the wonderful officiating handed to the Cleveland Browns at the end of the game with two of the most brutal calls you can ever see that just screwed the Colts completely. Okay? But how do I know? How do I know that they're not keeping guys out of games so they could, you know, make it better for the other team? Because all the money's coming in on the other team, and they, you know, right? How do I know? I don't know that. I don't trust the NFL at all. If you think the officials are not making certain calls against certain teams, think again. Think back to the Jet-Chief game. How about that? How'd the officiating go for us in that game? Think about this, okay? The last time that we, as Jets, got a roughing the passer call. It was December of 21. And we basically get one called against us every week. And you can bet there'll be a couple hideous calls that are going to go the Giants' way in this game as well. You know they will, of course. So I want this game bad. I really do. There's a lot of pressure on the Jet fans for this game. Go get it done. All right? Go beat a team that you're better than. All right? Let's be honest about it. And if they're going to make a big run to the playoffs, or dare I say try to win this AFC East, you better beat the goddamn Giants on Sunday. But then go to the Yoda Payne podcast. Before I do my picks, let's get the sponsors in here. The Hackensack Brewing Company, you know the deal. We'll let you know when the next live podcast will be. Located 10 minutes off the George Washington Bridge, 30 seconds off Route 4 in Who Needs a House out in Hackensack? Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you had in mind, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, because I'm moving out. Sorry, everybody. The Hackensack Brewing, I didn't sing before, so I had to do it now. The tap room's open 4:30 to 10 Monday through Friday, 2 to 10 Saturday, 12 to 8 on Sunday. In all due respect to Billy Joel, sorry, Billy. 78 Johnson Avenue in Hackensack, right behind the tombstones. Let's hope there's a big tombstone for the Giant fans after this game Sunday. Go see Mike Jones, TJ, Herb, Andre, the whole mishpucha over there. And we'll let you know when the next live podcast will be. By the way, when you're there, try my Yoda Payne beer in the Jet colors. I need a discount tire. Check them out. Go see my son, Johnny. Go see Ari, his boss. Go see Rob, everybody over there. You need work done on your car. You need tires. You need your car inspected. Anything you need. Anita Discount Tire, Rivervale, New Jersey, on Westwood Avenue. Tell them Joe B sent you when you say hello to my son, Johnny. And, of course, DraftKings. It's week 8 in the ever fast. But how about this? Week 8, the final weekend in October already. Can you believe that? Right? We're basically halfway through the NFL season already. It's really crazy. Check it out. You know what you got to do with DraftKings. Get in the NFL action week 8. You know how to do it. Download the app now. Use code ODAPAIN to sign up. New customers can bet $5, take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings. Make sure you're betting on the Giants this week. The more on them, the better. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code ODAPAIN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.sot1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help's available for problems gambling. 888-789-7777. Visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in our favorite country, Canada, in Ontario. By the way, how about the Rangers winning 3 straight now on this Western Seattle and Western Canada trip? See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football. Terms for eligibility. Terms of responsible gaming sources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Okay. I'm all juiced up here today. I really am. All right, let's do our picks. Terry's taking a week off. I gave her a week off. And she'll be back next week to do a pick. She's working hard to, you know, brush up on all her NFL stuff. So we're giving her the week off as she's cracking up. All right, it is week 8 in the NFL. I have been deliriously red hot. I went 3-0 again last week. Let me just make sure I got all my numbers correctly. 3-0 again last week. I'm 15-6 for the year. I'm 13-2 over the last 5 weeks. Oh, my God. I mean, I have been unconscious. I went 3-0 again last week. I won with the Chiefs, laying 5.5 against the Chargers. They beat them by 2 touchdowns, 31-17. I won with the Broncos, getting a point at home against Green Bay. They won the game 19-17. And I won with the Eagles, who were laying 2.5 against my favorite team, the Miami Dolphins. And they beat them by 2 touchdowns, 31-17. And I won with the knockout pool again, the Seahawks beating the Cardinals 20-10. So I stay alive in the knockout pool. 3-0 last week, 15-6 for the year. Here we go for week 8. I'm taking the Colts getting a point at home against the Saints. Both teams are 3-4. I just think the Colts are better. I mean, the Saints, you know, Derek Carr's not having a very good year. Their offensive line has done a terrible job in New Orleans protecting him. You know, I mean, he's gotten the crap beat out of him. I mean, every time I see the Saints, it seems like I'm seeing, you know, Derek Carr get beat up. I mean, every time. They come off that loss last week to the Jaguars on that Thursday night game, 31-24. And the Colts, we talked about this. The Colts got screwed last week by the officials, losing, what was the final score, 39-38 to the Browns at home. There was a big play in this game where the Colts had a strip sack of the kid Walker, who's playing for the injured Deshaun Watson, right? Strip sack, they recovered a fumble, and they call illegal contact. A brutal call against Amari Cooper of Cleveland, of course, giving the Browns an automatic first down. Then on the next play, they call pass interference in the end zone against the Colts on a ball that was totally uncatchable. Will Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar standing on top of each other could not have caught this ball. All right? And they called pass interference in the end zone. It took four plays, but on fourth down, the Browns finally scored the touchdown and won the game. What a hosing the Colts got. I love them here getting a point at home. And with Gardner Minshew playing, I like him even more because the kid Richardson is still out. Give me the Colts plus one at home against New Orleans. That's game one. Game two, I'm taking the Broncos getting seven against the Chiefs. Now, the game's in Denver. Remember, they played them a couple weeks ago on a Thursday night. Denver actually played them pretty tough. What was it, 17-9 was the final score? And I know the Chiefs are the best team in the league. They're 6-1. And the Chiefs have won, I think it's 15 or 16 in a row. It's similar to the Jets and the Patriots. Like 15 or 16 in a row that the Chiefs have beaten the Broncos. But I like Denver here. They're coming off a win over Green Bay last week. And I think they're going to play the Chiefs very tough here. I mean, I don't know if they're going to win this game. Probably not. But seven to me is a big number. And, you know, Chiefs come off a nice win right now. They're riding high. Travis Kelce, you know, him and all the canoodling. I'd use another word, but it's a family show. With Taylor Swift, right? The love fest between, you know, Kelce and Taylor. By the way, you know, did you watch the game last week, the Chiefs and the Chargers? Does anybody cover Travis Kelce? I mean, the guy's only one of the great tight ends of all time. He's a first ballot shoo-in Hall of Famer. Did he ever cover him? I mean, this guy's open for all over the world. He caught 12 for, I think, 179 and a touchdown last week. You think somebody's covering Travis Kelce? And then I got to see Taylor Swift up in the booth with Mahomes' wife doing the double chest bump, you know? Well, what are we doing here? They got like a choreographed dance. Will she be in Denver? Maybe the altitude's a little too much for Taylor. I don't know. Give me the Broncos at home plus seven against the Chiefs. Game three, I'm going to the Monday night game. I like the Lions laying 8.5 against the Raiders in Detroit. Now, the Lions last week got absolutely hammered in Baltimore by the Ravens 38-6. You talk about a mail-in. They mailed it in. The Lions basically, they might as well put the check next to the Lions in the NFC North because they got the Division I already. I mean, they're 5-2. The next closest team is Minnesota at 3-4. You know, I guess they're only a couple games behind them. But still. I mean, the Lions are going to win that division, and I think Dan Campbell is going to have them ready to go Monday night against a very bad Raider team. I guess Jimmy Garoppolo's playing, I guess. If Brian Hoyer plays, forget it. If Brian Hoyer plays, there's no way the Raiders have a shot. Brian Hoyer may be the worst quarterback that ever put on a uniform in the NFL. And I believe, because they lost again, remember they lost to the Bears last week with Hoyer at quarterback. I think Hoyer... I believe the number is he's lost 16 consecutive starts. Unbelievable. Give me the Lions to bounce back from that beatdown in Baltimore, laying 8.5 to blow the Raiders out on Monday night. My knockout pick, I like the Lions in my knockout pick against the Raiders. Just to let you know, so far I have used the Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, Niners, Dolphins, Rams, and Seahawks in the knockout pool. So give me the Lions in the knockout pool. So Beningo picks again. We're running out of time for week 8. The Colts plus one at home against the Saints. The Broncos plus seven at home against the Chiefs. The Lions laying 8.5 at home against the Raiders. The Lions in the knockout pool against the Raiders. The Joe Beningo Pro Football Picks week 8 in the NFL. All right, we're just about done here. Let's go, Jets. Win this freaking game Sunday. All right? Win this freaking game. Stick it to the Giants. Stick it to the Giant fans. Let's walk out of there. Kenny and I walk out of there of MetLife, really, Giant Stadium on Sunday with a big freaking smile on our face. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll be back for the podcast on Monday. This afternoon, 4 o'clock with Evan and Tiki. All the love.